Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. I picked out that special music because it pertains a lot to the sermon. You know, sometimes we can read scriptures and we may get one part of it and we don't really look at another part that is just as important. God gives us instruction on how to be close to Him. And Jesus gave us a sample prayer in Matthew 6, and it outlines what God wants to hear from us. And He does want to hear from us. I want to go over one aspect of this sample prayer. It is so important that God does not want to hear from us if we don't do this one particular item. And I don't think I've focused on that as much as I should. We find here in Matthew 6 and verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." This is the most important part of that prayer that we're going to focus on today. And verse 15, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So these two verses here, Matthew 6 and verse 14, and also verse 15, I would call the SPS of the sermon. This is what it's all about. How important it is for us to have forgiveness to our fellow man. And to everyone, frankly, brethren. Now, if we do not have our sins forgiven, think about this. I'll kind of pause here a little bit. If we do not have our sins forgiven by God because we haven't forgiven somebody, we will not have eternal life. That's a shocker when you really think about it. This is a vital requirement that we must fulfill. But it's very hard. And most of us sometimes find it difficult to forgive others that have done wrong to us. And we kind of want to overlook it, bypass it, and not deal with it. Not dealing with it is, I think, what we do a lot of times. In the forgiving of trespasses, we find that this is akin to a debt, something we need to do. It is a legal obligation to do. If we really focus on this sincerely, God looks at this requirement as a legal obligation. It is like a debt that needs to be made. I don't think I've focused on that clearly before. We can't get around this obligation of forgiving everyone. I was listening yesterday on the radio, and some heinous murder had happened where multiple people had been killed, and they sentenced this man, and he's going to be sentenced to death. And the whole family says, "We will never forgive you for what you've done." We as Christians have to forgive no matter what there is. And we'll see that today as we go through some of these verses. We can't get around this obligation of forgiving everyone. God wants to hear how we come to Him and ask for His help in forgiving one another. Now, we read here in Matthew 6, we'll go to Luke chapter 11, which is kind of the counterpart of this, and see what these words say here in Luke 11 and verse 4, if you'll follow along with me here, talking of the same subject, forgiveness. And as we start out in verse 4, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone of that indebtedness," is the Greek word. Luke uses this word hamartia. It means to miss the mark in regards to our sins. Think about that. If we do not ask for forgiveness for others, we have missed the mark as a Christian. It is a payment that is to be made. In verse 4, I'll read some more of it, continuing on. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So, how we are delivered from evil, we'll see here in Proverbs 6. If you'll follow along with me, very important scripture, Proverbs 6 and verse 20. And God wants us to keep His commandments. This is one way that we stay close to God and that our heart is turned towards Him. But it states here, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of your mother. Very important as a starting point to keep us focused in the right direction. Verse 22 will drop down here. When thou go, it shall lead thee, and when you sleep, it shall keep you. And when you awake, it shall talk to you. God's law is that way, isn't it? You think about situations that you bump into during the week. How can I apply God's commandments here in these situations? For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So we see we are under a gracious favor as long as we strive to follow God's instruction. It's a contingency here, isn't it? I like using that word. The grace that we receive from God is contingent upon our obedience. Does that mean the keeping of the commandments and whatever we find in the Bible is equal to the grace that we get? No. Not even remotely close. But it is a requirement for us. We are under gracious favor as long as we strive to follow God's instruction and ask for forgiveness when we sin and when we fail. We must constantly evaluate our lives and our relationships with one another. How am I doing as a Christian? Have I forgiven this person that I had an issue with some time ago? Do I need to go to God and ask Him for His help in forgiving this person? Let's go here to Luke 18. Luke 18, and we'll start here in verse 9. I'm actually going to read here out of my Bible. Luke 18 and verse 9. Here is really a bold example of not forgiving people and not dealing with them properly. We start out here in verse 9 of Luke 18. And He spoke this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves. Kind of a vanity that's here. Self-righteousness, if you will. That they were righteous and despised others. Kind of hard to have a forgiving heart there, isn't it, if that attitude is there. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you I'm not as other men and are extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even like this publican that's here. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Asking for forgiveness from whatever he had done. I tell you, this man went down to his house, justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So we have to have that mentality, don't we? He looked down on others and had no humility or mercy. Wasn't a chance there that forgiveness was going to enter this picture. So we have this need to confess and ask for forgiveness. It's part of what we need to do. We saw that in the opening verses in Matthew. God knows that we need to confess and ask for forgiveness. He knows our weaknesses, and He wants us to be helped by Him. God knows that we have daily a need to ask for forgiveness, but we must ask for forgiveness of others. We need to watch ourselves and keep track of our failures and sins. Let's look here in 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. The starting point is that we have to confess our sins, don't we? 1 John 1:9. It starts out here saying, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We acknowledge our sins and God forgives. Yes, He does. Matthew 6, I'll go back here to Matthew 6 and verse 12. And it tells us here, and forgive us our debts as, here's a big word here, as we forgive our debtors. So that is very important that we need to forgive those that have done wrong to us. We need to be willing to forgive others so that our sins can be forgiven. We surely wouldn't want that to be hindered, would we? Would we want our sins to not be forgiven because we had not asked for forgiveness of what others have done to us? We find that this is a requirement. We look back, and I think one of the finest examples is of Joseph. We'll go back here to Genesis 50 and verse 20. And very important here. Joseph comes out with this comment. You could tell that he has forgiven his brothers. And he says here in verse 20, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. Quite an amazing performance and thinking, isn't it? That he knew that God meant it for good, all that had happened to him, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. So not only was Joseph's family saved, but many people in Egypt also. Joseph had been sold to the Ishmaelites, sold as a slave. Boy, he could have said, woe is me. Punished by Potiphar. Could have said, woe is me there. I think I'll just throw in the towel, but he didn't. But God was with Joseph through this. He was put in prison because of Potiphar's wife. Could have given up there. Probably spent the rest of his life in prison, but that wasn't how God was going to work it out. He was actually 13 years in slavery. A large amount of time. Joseph's brothers had some doubt that he had forgiven them. But their father encouraged them in this verse. It's a good thing that the father was there. Jacob told his sons in Genesis 50 and verse 17. Look at the good instruction that is here. Genesis 50, verse 17. So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of your brethren and their sin. For they did unto you, forgive their trespasses of your servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they said this unto him. A very emotional time right there. So Joseph forgave and understood that all that had happened was for the end result to be for good. We're going to look at some points, some positive things about forgiveness of others and what it can produce in each and every one of us. Number one, we forgive because it is a necessary reason to maintaining a right relationship with God. If we hadn't asked for forgiveness of other people and our prayers were hindered, that would be an awful thing. We want to have that relationship. So we see that forgiving others is a necessary reason to maintaining a right relationship with God. The examples of the Bible show us how important it is to forgive others. We see it several times. We know that sin cuts us off from God. Not a doubt about that, is there? You know, we know when people sin, or when we sin, we're cut off from God unless we repent. God does not want this to happen. God shows us how important it is to forgive others so that we'll have that right relationship with God. We saw that Joseph forgave. Joseph saw God's hand in all of this, a hand in it to work this whole situation out, no matter how ugly it was, no matter how big the test or the trial was. God worked it out. And Joseph knew that sin cut us off from God. So Joseph forgave. He saw God's hand in all of this. It was for his good, and so that others could learn a lesson. Now, we look back here in Genesis 4. We're going to see this example of Cain. Cain was cut off from God when he killed Abel and separated from his family. Genesis 4 and verse 7. I'll read some of the general words from this scripture. It says here that sin cuts us off from God. When we do well, we are accepted by God. We go through the process. We must go through the process of removing sin. That may take forgiving another person of their sin against you. Now, I'd have to say, the hardest part in all of this forgiveness is when you try to resolve something with another person and you can't resolve it. God still asks us to forgive one another, even if a resolution has not come out of that. I know I read back here in Matthew 6 and verse 14, this will be a repeat, but it is kind of the SPS of what we're talking about here today. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. God wants to forgive you of your sins. He longs for that, for you to come to Him. He wants us to take the proper steps to do this. I read from Matthew, we'll also read here in Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Matthew 18, 21, if you'll follow along with me there. Now Peter kind of takes things to an extreme at times, and we'll see this here. Matthew 18, 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Is it that much? Is that all I have to do is seven times forgive him? Verse 22 says, and Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you seven times, but until 70 times 70. You know, unless you're a real mathematical whiz, you can't come up with that number right away. You'd have to write it down on paper to come up with that answer. The whole point of this verse is it is a larger number than we can count or keep track of. We couldn't keep track of all the trespasses somebody did against us. So we have to forgive them. That's the important part that Jesus is saying. So we find by this verse, there is not a limit put on forgiveness, is there? Not a limit, not a reason to limit us to forgive one another. The Jews taught that you only had to forgive a person three times. I didn't go to look that up where that's at. But I guess that'd make it easier if it was only three times. We are to have compassion on our fellow man with no limit of forgiveness. Now, what enters into this picture is you may forgive somebody, but you haven't forgotten, have you? You haven't forgotten. So the important part is we don't dwell on this. And the less that we dwell on what happened to us, what happens? It goes to the back of our mind a little more and a little more, where it doesn't affect our lives. And it makes it easier for us to forgive one another. Forgiveness must come from the heart. It must be sincere. It must have an outgoing concern. And we know that those who show no mercy will receive no mercy by God. Let's turn here to Matthew 5. We see how important mercy is. Matthew 5 and verse 7. It tells us here, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy." Because we see how God is merciful to us, so shall we show mercy to others. This is helpful in forgiving one another by having this mercy in our life. Now, God delights in mercy. He longs for his children to be forgiven. Well, look here in Psalms 103. We'll look at some of the wonderful characteristics and attributes of God in Jesus Christ. Psalms 103 and verse 1. I know David had to focus on this to keep a proper perspective in what he needed to do, especially when he dealt with Saul, who was trying to kill him. Psalms 103 verse 1 will start out. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul," verse 2, "and forget not all his benefits." I believe we were singing this in one of the hymns here as we were starting out services. "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Verse 4, "Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." There, that enters the picture again, doesn't it? Verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." It's a good thing that he is that way, isn't it? Or else most of us would be gone. But he's very gracious, very merciful, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. We'll drop down to verse 10. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewards us according to our iniquities." At times when we do wrong, boy, we could suffer a greater penalty than what God actually dishes out. We'll drop down here to verse 17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." verse 18. To such as keep his covenant. We know back in Hebrews, it tells us the covenant that God has made with each and every one of us that have been baptized is an everlasting covenant. Everlasting. Let's see. In all of this, we must have an attitude of proper conduct as we deal with our fellow man. Please turn with me here to Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 3. It tells us here, take heed to yourself. Look at yourself. Evaluate it. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. You should say something to him. I mean, I think the word rebuke is a little harsh here. But you have to say something. You have to let him know so that you can resolve this. Don't let it just pass by. And if he repents, it tells us to forgive him. Going on to verse 4. And if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day. This is a lot, isn't it? 7 times in a day this one person has trespassed against you. But 7 times he turns again to you saying, I repent. What should you do, brethren? You shall forgive him. I don't know if I've ever had somebody trespass against me 7 times in a day. But they're giving the extreme example here that there's no limit on how we should forgive. Jeremiah 36 and verse 3, if you'll follow along with me here, we'll go through some more of forgiveness. Now, God had a hope as he saw Judah fall away and become evil. And he went to Judah. He said, it may be that the house of Judah, starting in verse 3, will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them. So God told them ahead of time, if you don't change, this evil is going to come upon you. But I'm doing this that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So God goes to others who have sinned and is willing to forgive them. So God was not going to let Judah get away with their sin. He was going to let them know ahead of time of his punishment in hopes that they would return to him. Look here in Psalms 86 and verse 5, if you will with me. Still very important in this. Psalms 86 and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. He's ready, he's anxious, if you will, to do it. Plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon you. As we see how he's so merciful to us and wants to forgive us, we too should have that attitude towards our fellow man. We're going to go into a second point now about a positiveness of forgiveness. Forgiving is a requirement for heartfelt prayer. We read earlier, didn't we, that our prayers would be hindered if we don't ask for forgiveness of our fellow man. So forgiving is a requirement for heartfelt prayer. Let's look here in Mark 11, verse 25. Mark 11, verse 25. We'll see how this applies. It says here, and when you stand praying, forgive. When you're doing that, make that a part of your prayer every day. If you have anything against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. It's a contingency, isn't it? we have to forgive others so that we can be forgiven. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Wow. We need to have our sins forgiven, don't we, brethren? We don't want to have something happen where we don't forgive others and then our sins are not forgiven. So in our prayers, we must ask God to forgive those that wrong us. And we must tell God that we do forgive them. And if we need help in doing that, ask God for that help. Ask for that help. This may be something that God will need to help you with. Help us to have a better understanding, to have God's mindset that He is willing to forgive us. Let's look here in Ephesians 4. Read out of my Bible again here. Ephesians 4, and we'll start in verse 29. It goes to tell us, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know, if there is corruptness that continues to come out of our mouth, may mean that we have not forgiven that person of what they've done, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It means it's going to be a gift and a benefit to others. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You see how important that is, brethren? That we forgive others so that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We surely wouldn't want to do that, would we? I don't think there's anybody that would. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Wow. That is big. Let's look here also at Colossians. Colossians 3 and verse 12 as we focus on this requirement of us. Colossians 3 and verse 12 says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies. Here's that mercies ending in here, or entering in here. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Verse 13 goes on to say, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any, let's see here. This is something that we need to do, forgive one another. Let's look at Christ's example. I think this stands out the most of how he forgave others. Luke 23 and verse 33, if you'll follow along with me here. Here is Christ who has been crucified. We'll start out here reading Luke 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Going on to verse 34. So what did Jesus do? Did he strike out? Look, he set the example of forgiveness when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Brethren, this is the ultimate of wrong done on another being. Jesus wanted the Father to forgive them, even though they were taking his life. No resentment here in Jesus' life as he said this. Let's look at another point, a positive point, in how forgiveness helps us. Forgiveness helps us to better understand the love of God. That forgiveness, isn't that an aspect of the love that we should have? And we see how big it is in God the Father and Jesus Christ as they forgive us. Galatians 5 and verse 14. Galatians 5 and verse 14. You just can't get around not forgiving one another. We have to. Galatians 5 and verse 14 tells us, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We want to be receivers of God's mercy, don't we, brethren? We want to be receivers of that. So we must show mercy to others. Very important. John 13. Follow along with me with one more verse in this point number 3. John 13 and verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." So forgiveness is very important. It helps us to have more of the love of God. Point number 4. In the positiveness of forgiveness. Forgiveness helps us to grow in righteousness. It helps us to grow in righteousness. That's point number 4. We find here in Proverbs 21, verse 21, if you want to follow along with me to support this point, Proverbs 21, verse 21. "He that follows after righteousness and mercy finds life." Not just life on this earth, but brethren, it carries out further than that, isn't it? It carries out to eternal life. He finds life, he finds eternal life, and righteousness and honor. So mercy is linked into this forgiveness. And it removes the penalty of sin when we apply forgiveness. When we apply forgiveness. We'll go on to point number 5, my last point here, about the positive aspect of forgiveness. Forgiveness can prevent us from being offended and sinning. If we're in this frame of mind of forgiving one another, it's a little harder for us to be offended and riled up and upset. Matthew 24, verse 10 tells us something will happen in the end times. And surely people do get riled up quite a bit in this last age, don't they? You see it on the roads. You see it in the stores. We find here in Matthew 24, verse 10, we see that in the end times, that many will be offended and led into sin and hate one another. Doesn't lead to forgiveness, does it? Really pushes it away. This shows that the proper love would grow cold as we get into a more secular time. Forgiveness is like a valve to bleed off these offenses. I have one more verse. Luke 17 and verse 1. Let's look at that and read over together as we have been examining forgiveness. It says here, "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, probably see more and more in the end times. But woe unto him through whom they come." So don't let yourself not forgive these offenses that come, brethren. We have seen that we must forgive one another or else our prayers are hindered. That's how important it is. If we have difficulty in forgiving, we must consider how merciful God is to us. So we've gone over 5 points. Now rehearse them right here at the end. Forgiveness is a necessary reason to maintain a right relationship with God. We don't want that relationship to be cut off, do we? We don't want it to be hindered. Forgiveness is a requirement for heartfelt prayer. Forgiveness helps us better understand the love of God, how much God forgives us. Forgiveness helps us to grow in righteousness. And forgiveness can prevent us from being offended and sinning. I hope that you will consider what we've read over today, how important forgiveness is. I surely don't want my prayers hindered, and I don't think any one of us here in our congregation wants that to happen. So if there is a case where you need to forgive someone and you need help, you need to pray to God and ask for that and take care of that situation so that your prayers aren't hindered and so we can make sure that we are going to have eternal life.